Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Most sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary, please be seated. As was announced previously, right after Mass, we will pray our devotions in honor of the Immaculate Heart of Mary at her shrine in front of the pulpit. And we will recite the act of consecration and reparation that was prescribed by Pope Pius XII to be recited annually on this feast. And also our regular devotions to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Last Sunday, I spoke extensively about this feast, about this theme of our Mother's Immaculate Heart. And there's so much more to be said. There's so much more for us to understand. Obviously, there's so much more room for us to grow in our devotion to Mary's Immaculate Heart. All of us need to understand better how this is the critical devotion for our times, that this is such an important key in the salvation of souls. And Holy Mother Church, through her sovereign pontiffs, in particular Pope Pius XII, have indicated by establishing this feast liturgically, this is to be a spiritual focus for us. The devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary was already being propagated more widely many years before Fatima, but it's at Fatima that we really understand the connection. There's specific revelation about the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is what is going to help so many souls from being lost eternally. Our Lady wants consecration to her Immaculate Heart. And she was very specific by saying, Russia is to be consecrated by the Holy Father with all of the bishops of the world. And this is a very controversial point. The debate goes on. Has it been done? My own personal opinion is no, it hasn't. There's also the communion of reparation on First Saturday. It's linked with the Immaculate Heart of Mary to console her for the thorns of sin that press upon her heart. And also we are told, and this is where the message of Fatima is such a hope-filled message, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. And that's something we need to dwell on, especially when we get discouraged, dejected, when we see the state of the world, how bad things are. We see how modernism triumphed at Vatican II and destroyed the faith of hundreds of millions. We see, although maybe not the proliferation of communism, we see the proliferation of near communism, greater and greater socialism, greater and greater secularism. So we need to focus on those words, meditate upon them. Remember, too, what Our Lady said to Sister Lucia, my Immaculate Heart will be your refuge. It's so easy to get discouraged when we see what we're up against. So many things are hopeless. They certainly come across that way, but of course, ultimately, they're not hopeless because they're in God's hands. They're in our Blessed Mother's care. We do know that God allows evil to triumph, to prosper because of free will. But we're given that wonderful assurance, in the end, my immaculate heart will triumph. So as we can see, the immaculate heart is such a key part of the Fatima message. And I am convinced that the most important year of the whole 20th century was 1917, when Our Lady appeared, because she was giving us prophecy. She was telling us what would happen if her message was not heeded by a sufficiently large number of Catholics. So you might say the history of the 20th century was encapsulated in 1917. You could even say the rest of the history of the world was encapsulated in 1917. What will that triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary be like? Will it be something that happens at the very end of the world? Will it be something that we see more on an intermediate basis? Will it be some kind of a restoration of Catholic society where God and His Holy Church are acknowledged finally by governments? We don't know. But it will be a triumph. And my dear brethren, we should never forget that our daily living of the message of Fatima is, in fact, a working for the triumph of Mary's Immaculate Heart. We have a part to play. We are not to be idle spectators, not by any means. Our Catholic faith does not allow us to. We're called to holiness. And then our mother appeared in 1917 and told us how urgent, how critical it was to live her message, to, in effect, apply our Catholic faith. But to the extent that we zealously commit to that, we are working for that triumph. We may be hastening it. I think that might be another way to look at it. Hasten the triumph of Mary's Immaculate Heart. One of the key parts of the Fatima message is consecration. And to consecrate means to set something aside in a holy way. And what is most highly recommended is the total consecration to Jesus through Mary. And I believe it was Sister Lucia who saw that as a perfect living of the message of Fatima. Not all wish to do this, but all are asked to consecrate themselves to Mary, to set themselves aside, to recognize that they are the children of Mary, and in a definite sense, dependent upon her, and to live a life that honors Our Lady. You know, when we talk about consecrating a church, we mean setting it aside for something very sacred. It cannot be used for profane uses. When a cemetery is consecrated, it is set aside for sacred use. When the chalice is consecrated, it's set aside for holding the consecrated blood of our Lord during Mass. And we should try to think of that as we consecrate ourselves, that we set ourselves aside from profane and sinful things for holy and spiritual things. Well, what about consecrating Russia? Obviously, this is a different kind of consecration, but what we are praying for as we, in our own personal capacity, is may it become more holy, more set aside, more dedicated to Our Lady. And this, of course, begs the whole very important question. We don't have the time to review it now, but why Russia? Why not Pakistan? Why not Nigeria? Why not the United States? Why not Italy? Where the heart of our Catholic faith has been for the past 20 centuries. But you see, God's ways are not our ways. He knows things that we don't know and is really not for us to question. But we can speculate. And I'm not going to do that here. But there's obviously a hope and an expectation to be realized in Russia and in nowhere, no other place. It's God's plan. And, you know, when we think of something being used for good, we also know when it's not used for that good, it also can be used for a most horrible bad. The greater the good it's called to, the greater the evil it falls to when it doesn't live up to that. And we know what Russia has done. It spread communism like no other country in the 20th century. So we pray for the conversion of Russia. We pray, we work for that by our own personal devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Won't it be a wonderful day when Mary's Immaculate Heart finally triumphs? When the wickedness of the world starts to be put down, when the Sacred Heart of Jesus will be acknowledged as the King that He is and deserves. My dear brethren, we have to live by faith. We may or may not ever see that triumph. We may wish we could see Mary looking at us and Jesus looking at us. We have to see that by faith and to see it in a very real way. No, we shouldn't want a vision or a revelation. That is so life-altering, we may not be willing to pay the sacrifice or be willing to accept the sacrifice that it entails. When you look at anyone that's had a vision or revelation, what they've had to suffer. Because when you come in contact with the supernatural like that, you're called to a life of much greater sacrifice. It would be a consolation, but there's also a price to be paid. But let us look at Mary today. Let us look at Jesus, our King and our Queen. And how do they look at us? I'm sure always with love. Because we are their beloved children. But how much disappointment may be in their faces as they look upon us because of things that need to change in our lives. But there is also joy when they see our daily effort to honor them and to love their Sacred Hearts. So let us look at the face of our Holy Mother today, the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, and let us be inspired to change what needs to be changed in our lives, the faults and sins that need to be overcome. Let us also know how loved we are and how they are given joy by our dedication and our love and our service to them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.